From Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the international radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This edition of the program comes to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. During the next several programs, Dr. Mark Allison, minister of the Malvern Church, will be bringing a special series of messages. Here to introduce the series is Dr. Allison.
This is Mark Allison, and I'd like to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we're going to turn in God's Word to John's Gospel and chapter 1. We have been doing some studies on hermeneutics, and I want to shift gears this week and study with you what it is to have assurance of salvation. One of the things that the cults are guilty of is putting men's confidence where it ought not to be placed, that is, putting men's confidence in their own works. False religion has always done that, and yet the Scripture only puts our confidence in the work of Christ. And so we want to, this week, study what it is to be a true son of God and how it is that we become a child of the King. Today we're going to turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 11. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. We trust the Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His inspired word. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ says that the devil is a liar and the father of it. One of the devil's lies is to come to unbelievers and to say to them that we are all sons or children of God. Because of that, men do not need to seek God for salvation because they think that they are already a part of God's family. Now, while it is true that we are all the creatures of God, sonship, or being a child of God, was something that was lost in Adam's sin. It is only regained through the salvation that is provided in Christ. Well, a similar lie is to say to someone, you are a child of God because of a religious work you have done. The Church of Rome says that. They come to people and say that when you are baptized as an infant, that you have all of your sins washed away, that at that moment you are born again and justified. At that moment you become a child of God. And at that moment that you are baptized, you also become a child of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, of those four things, only one of those things is really true. You become a child of the Roman Catholic Church, but you do not become a child of God. To be a child of God, you must believe. This is what is stated here in verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But another lie of the devil is to come not to unbelievers and tell them they are sons of God, but to come to believers and tell them they are not sons of God. It is interesting that Jesus Christ Himself was naturally and eternally the Son of God. And yet at the beginning of His ministry, He was attacked at this very point. He was driven out into the wilderness, being led there by the Holy Spirit. And then for 40 days, He was tempted of the devil. And we read that several of His temptations were directly upon this very truth that He was the Son of God. The devil would come to Him and say, if thou be the Son of God. And then a work was given to try to prove that He was the Son of God. Later on in His ministry, on the cross when He was hanging there, that same temptation, that same doubt was hurled at Him by the crowd when they would say, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, He was the Son of God, and yet at the same time He was a man, perfect man, sinless man, 100% God, his deity never changed, and yet he joined himself by his person to a true and real humanity. He had a true body. He had a reasonable soul. And in his humanity, he had to learn, he had to grow, he had to become aware of what was around him. And the devil was coming and tempting him as to his deity. He was coming and trying to put doubts into his mind as to what he really was concerning the Son of God. He came and tempted our Lord shortly after our Lord had been baptized. And in our Lord's baptism, the voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There was the Word of God coming from heaven, from the Father, saying to Christ that he was the Son of God and declaring that to the whole world. Not only so, but the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ there at the cross. And John the Baptist said that when he saw the Spirit of God descending and resting upon Christ, that he knew that he was the Son of God. In other words, the Word of God and the Spirit of God gave assurance to Christ that he truly was the Son of God. Now, I don't believe that he ever doubted that truth. But that is the truth that the devil tried to get him to doubt. That is where the attack came when he was in the wilderness. Now, if our Lord should be attacked in that area, and he was the eternal Son of God, he was naturally the Son of God, then we who are adopted into God's family can expect that we too will be attacked on that very truth. That there will be those who will come and will say, "You're not a child of God. You're not truly a son of God. The promises of God that goes to his family, to those that are in the family, do not belong to you." I say, if the devil would come and attack our Lord in that area, certainly he will make that his attack when dealing with us as God's people. Now, we see that attack in the New Testament, particularly when we read the epistle to the Galatians. The devil was attacking them concerning their sonship. The devil came with a lie concerning the Gentile believers, that they were not truly the children of God because they were not Jewish, because they hadn't kept the ceremonial law, because they hadn't kept the moral law. They were not part of God's family. And Paul had to deal with that error. There are several churches at least, in that area that he had established in his preaching and teaching. The Spirit of God had come upon that whole area and souls were saved and churches begun. And now they were infected with this heresy, saying the Gentiles weren't children of God. And Paul clearly recognized that if they weren't children of God, then they weren't justified either. They became a child of God the same way they became justified in God's sight. They were placed in union with Christ. And being in union with Christ, they were viewed as being a child of God because Christ is the child of God. Yea, Paul goes so far as to say in the end of chapter 3 that they became heirs with Christ because Christ is the one who has received the promises given to Abraham. He is the seed. Therefore, if we are in Christ, we too are the seed of God. We too are his children. We have given to us the promises. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Paul makes that very clear, that the Gentiles who believe are the children of God. Earlier in chapter 3, he says they're the children of Abraham by faith. But now he makes it very abundantly clear that they are children, the children of God by faith. Now, how do you be justified? Well, you're justified the same way you become a child of God. You are justified because you're in Christ. Being in Christ, your sins have been removed by his atoning work on the cross. His atoning work was such that when he was on the cross, he was accused of the sins of his people. He was representing his people on the cross. He was their substitute. And while he was there on the cross, God laid our sins upon him. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, 1 Peter chapter 2 says. And while he was bearing our sins, the wrath of God came upon his head, and he was fully punished. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God laid our iniquity on Christ and then punished Christ. In fact, in Isaiah 53, where we are quoting from, later on it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Father was completely satisfied when the Son was bruised. The law of God was met. The law showed our sin, but the law also called forth for punishment, and that punishment fell on Christ. Because of that, God is now able to forgive us. Symbolically, the Scripture speaks of the blood of Christ washing away our sins. And so in heaven, God can forgive us because we are in Christ and we're punished with Him on the cross. But that's only one part of justification. The other part of justification says that because we are in Christ on the cross, we are also in Christ when He was buried. We are also in Christ when He was raised from the dead. We're still in Christ now as He is seated at the right hand of God. You have this truth being stated in Romans chapter 6, the first few verses. It's also stated in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Well, how righteous is Jesus Christ? He's perfectly righteous. Well, if we are in Christ and we're being viewed as one with Christ, then we are perfectly righteous as well. And so God is said to declare us to be righteous because we have this union with His Son. With His Son, we died on the cross and all of our sins were paid for in full. And being united now to His Son, we are risen with the Son and we are as righteous as the Son is in God's sight. We are therefore by God declared to be righteous. Why are we righteous? Because we're in Christ. Why are we children of God and joint heirs with the Lord? Because we are viewed as being in our representative head. And when did that all take place? According to Scripture, it took place the moment we believed. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. It's clear there that all who believe are sons of God. In the passage we read here at the beginning of our broadcast, John says, but as many as received Him, that is received Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Who becomes a son of God? Those who believe on His name. And the justification that we enjoy comes at the same time when we believe. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And if you would read Romans chapter 3, especially the last verses from verse 20 down to the end of the chapter, and you would read through chapter 4, you would see it's all about our believing on Christ and His righteousness being imputed to us. His blood washes away our sins, and His righteousness is imputed to us. My friend, the only question left then is this question of, are we a believer? Have we come to take Christ as Lord and Savior? And if we have, then we are viewed as one of God's children. If we can be of further help to you, please give us a call at 610-993-3170. 610-993-3170, or write to us at malvernfpc@yahoo.com.